We're going to open up to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. I'm going to go ahead and read it. We're going to pray, and we're going to get into this right here. We are in our Destiny series, and for the next few weeks, we're actually going to focus on one of my favorite characters in the Bible. He goes by the name of David, and David had many, many different seasons in his life. There was a season where he was a king. There was a season where he was a warrior, but today, we're going to talk about the season where he was a shepherd. And where God anointed him for his future. And so we're going to read it all together. Actually, don't read with me. I'm just read it for you, okay? Just listen up. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.'" Listen, if anyone's trying to kill you, just bring a heifer, okay? "Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate," okay? Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, I think that's how you pronounce it, and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." Rejection. So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "They're still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Y'all don't even know David. Come on. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Let's pray. Hey God, we thank you, Lord, that we are in our Destiny series. And for every son and daughter in this room, every son and daughter hearing this word, for every son and daughter that's in your family, you have a destiny and a plan for their lives. You have something that you are calling every one of us to do. But I thank you, Lord, that even before we begin to discover our destiny, we have to build a foundation our destiny can rest on. And so today, as we study the life and the heart of David, would you teach us how to build a foundation that our destinies will not crumble under? A foundation that sets us up to step into our God-given destiny. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week, we launched into our Destiny series, and what we talked about is this one thing, this one idea, that God has a destiny for your life, that he has called you to do something significant in history. You're alive for such a time as this, and God has a plan and a dream and a destiny for your life. And we talked about how we have to stir up our hope that God has something good planned for our future. And so we tackled hopelessness, hopelessness in our spirit, hopelessness in our finances, hopelessness in our relationships. Can I get a witness? Hopelessness in our vocation, in our jobs. God just broke off the hopelessness and stirred in us a hope that we have a destiny and a future. Now I want to look at verse 1. In this story, God stirs up the prophet Samuel and says, "You're going to anoint a new king of Israel. And it's going to be a different king than Saul was." And so we see in this verse, the Lord says to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I've rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." Now we talked about last week that your destiny is not just your dream for your life, but it's God's dream for your life. You know, God has a dream for you. You know, I only have a dog right now, But I imagine when I have a son or a daughter, I don't know which one. A couple of our friends had dreams that we have a daughter recently, but I don't know, whatever. When we have a kid, best believe that, yes, I wanna tap into what my son or my daughter, what their dreams and what their passions are. But I'll have a dream for my kid. I have a dream that my kid will be successful, that my kid would run after the Lord. I have a dream for my child. God has a dream for every single one of you. It's not just your dream for your life, but God has a dream for your life. You see, David had a plan, and it wasn't to be king of Israel. David had one plan. He says, I'm going to be a master shepherd. Come on. He said, I'm going to be a master. He had no ambition, no desire, no inkling that he wanted to be the king of all of Israel. David's plan was to be a master shepherd or maybe a great warrior at the least. But God had other plans for David. How many of you know that your destiny is not just what you can dream of or your desires for what you want to see happen in your life? God has desires for your life, and it's bigger than anything you can imagine. See, your desires, your dreams, and your gifting are part of your destiny, but it's so much more. Your destiny is about the role God has you and needs you to play in history. And I love this because David walking out his destiny wasn't just so he could feel fulfilled or feel content or feel like he's living out his wildest dreams. David had to walk out his destiny because there were battles that had to be won. David had to walk out his destiny because there was a people that needed to be shepherded. David had to walk out his destiny because there were psalms that needed to be written. You see, David had a destiny, and it wasn't just for inner self-fulfillment. David had a destiny that actually affected history. And every single one of you, God has a dream for your life, not just so you could feel fulfilled and feel like, I'm living out my calling. I'm living out my destiny. No, God has a plan for your life. Because he is calling you in some way, in some form, in some shape to impact history. There are people depending on you walking out your destiny. Come on. There are generations depending on you to walk out your destiny. There are nations that are waiting for you to walk out your destiny. Your destiny is bigger than you. Look to your neighbor and say that. Your destiny is bigger than you. History depends on you stepping into your destiny. People depend on you stepping into your destiny. You know, one of my favorite stories that I love to tell, many of you have heard this before, but in second grade, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a Christian church. I grew up in a Christian school. Could not get more Christian than that. I grew up in the most Christian setting, but I had not known Jesus. I did not know Jesus for myself. But I remember in second grade, my second grade teacher, Mrs. Everett, one recess, you know, I was kind of a loner kid. I told you, I used to just go out during recess and find my Indian friend. We didn't even know each other's names. We sit down, never said a word to each other. We just started saying, it's a small world after all. I don't know why. We did that for a whole year. We never said a word to each other. We just would find each other. I don't know. Anyway, one recess. I had nothing better to do. And Mrs. Everett, my second grade teacher, kept me in from recess, from going out. She sat me down, and I was helping her organize the desk, and then she sat me down and told me about Jesus, and there was something special about that moment. Holy Spirit was moving in that moment for the first time. I verbally accepted Jesus Christ, and I knew in my heart that Jesus Christ was my Savior. He was for me. He was not just a cultural fad. He was for me, and that day I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. You see, if Miss Everett did not walk out in her destiny, I would never have met Jesus the way that I did. I would not be here preaching to you beautiful people right now. You see, your destiny, people are hinging on your destiny. We talked about last week, if your destiny can be fulfilled without God and without others, it's too small. Your destiny is bigger than anything you can dream of. I love this verse, Ephesians 3:20. In the Living Bible, it says, now glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hope. I don't know about you, but I have an active imagination. My dreams would scare the bejesus out of you. I'm telling you right now. It would scare you. But this verse says even your highest prayers, your highest desires, your wildest dreams, your craziest thoughts and hopes, God's plan is even greater. It's beyond, infinitely beyond all that you can dream of. God has a plan. Listen, some of you thought, I'm just going to be an accountant for the rest of my life. Some of you thought, I'm just going to be a student for the rest of my life, be in debt the rest of my life. Some of you think, I'm going to be single for the, listen, let me tell you something. God has a destiny that's bigger than anything you can ever imagine, anything that you could possibly dream of. You know, when I started, many of you know, I used to be very head deep into the music career. And I remember when I first started rapping, I actually have a picture of it. One of my first performances was at a VBS. I was dressed like Nacho Libre. I had long hair. I was rapping to maybe 20 or 30 kids in San Francisco. And let me tell you something. I had no ambition beyond this. This was my dream, to be in front of 20, 30 kids in a Nacho Libre outfit, rapping to Kanye West Stronger. That was my dream. I had no ambition beyond that. But I had no idea that God had a destiny for my music that went beyond even my desires or my dreams. I had no idea that God would have me write and produce and sell albums. I had no idea that God would take me all around the world sharing my music. I had no idea. This was my ambition. This was my dream. This is, some of you have dreams, and I'm telling you, it's too small. But even the wildest dreams that you have, the wildest ideas that you have for your destiny are too small. God is so much bigger. He is so much bigger. And let me tell you something. Your destiny, history, is hinging on you walking out your destiny. Now, I want to go to verse 7. Take that picture off of there. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. Talking about the oldest son. Now, what Jesse did is he brought his oldest, finest, most handsomest, strongest son, the most qualified in the family of Jesse, brought it to Samuel and said, Eliab, this is the man. This guy must be the king. He has all the credentials. Bam, took out a little scroll. You see this, blue eyes, blonde hair, tall, handsome, all this stuff. He had all the credentials for the king. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now hear me, church. Destiny doesn't belong to the skilled or the gifted. Destiny belongs to the obedient. Come on. Destiny does not belong to the most skilled, the most experienced, the most qualified, the one with the most credentials, the most intelligent, the most beautiful or sexy, the most skilled or talented. Destiny belongs to the obedient. And here we see that even though Jesse brought his choice son, the most skilled, the most gifted, the most qualified, God said, I ain't looking at that stuff that y'all looking at. I'm looking deeper. I'm looking at his heart. See, God wasn't looking at the outward appearance. He was looking at the hearts of the sons of Jesse. You see, David was destined for the kingdom, not because he had the right skill set, not because he had a great educational background or great family history. David was destined for the kingdom because of his heart. Let me tell you something. God has a destiny for you, and it's not contingent on your skills or your abilities or your plans to make things happen. It's all contingent on one thing, your heart. I want you to look at your heart right now and say, it's all about you. Some of y'all did it. Listen, your destiny is not dependent on your abilities or your circumstances. Your destiny is dependent on a heart fully submitted to God. First Corinthians 1:27 says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. You see, the world saw a lowly shepherd boy. Even David's father forgot to grab David when Samuel was looking upon all the sons. Can you imagine if you had a special guest of honor come into your house, Pastor Benjamin coming into my house, or President Barack Obama coming into my house, and your dad grabs every one of your siblings but you? Dang, that's heck of messed up. David was completely forgotten. He was just a lowly shepherd boy in the eyes of the world. See, the world saw a lowly shepherd boy, but God saw a king. Come on, God saw a king. Some people may be looking at you and saying, you're just an accountant. You're just working at a startup. You're just a student. You're just a struggling artist. But God is looking at you, and he sees so much more. Don't belittle your destiny or your calling because of the world, of what the world says about you. Believe that God is looking at you, and he sees so much more. You see, the world may overlook you, but God never overlooks the faithful. Can I get an amen? God never forsakes or overlooks the faithful. You know, here on Sunday, I know I'm up here all the time, sometimes pulling double duty, jumping, dancing, singing, preaching. Anthony's up here. We have a lot of people that you see. But there's so many people here at this church that are behind the scenes. You know, last week, Pastor Krista shared a powerful word during offering called roll the credits. You know, when you see a movie, you see all the actors, you see all the fine actors acting, all doing all the stuff, getting all the credit. But at the end of the movie, they roll the credits, and you see that so many people went into making this thing happen. You know, there are people serving here at this church that you may not see. You may not see and see them serving. You may not see them. They might not be put on a pedestal. They might not be seen in public for all that they do. But God never overlooks the faithful. And there's people here that are faithfully serving. You know, one of my favorite people here is Kevin on the drums. Isn't Kevin amazing? Let me tell you about Kevin. First of all, Kevin don't even live here. He don't live in San Francisco. He lives across the bridge in the East Bay. And Kevin, for the longest time, he's been grinding so hard. But even as he's pursuing his workplace destiny and his calling, he hasn't taken a single step back from serving the house here at church. He comes in the middle week to community group, and then on his off time, he lifts and Ubers. Like, he grinds. And Kevin, what I want to tell you is, in this season, as you're looking, God will never overlook the faithful. He will never overlook the faithful. Listen, there are people, so many people sitting to your left and your right that are living faithfully, and I want you to know that God does not overlook you. You thank God that he doesn't just look at our skills or our credentials or our competency or our circumstances. As Lord knows, I would be screwed. I would not be your pastor right now. See, the Lord doesn't look at the outward things. He looks at the heart. You know, when we started Soda, I went through this phase where I was just going Instagram crazy, and I was looking up all these amazing churches in the world and just following their Instagram pages. And I was looking at what, actually, there's a term for them. They're called hype priests. Coined from hype beasts, and it's these pastors that are really cool. They're like wearing the latest sneakers. They look amazing. And when you hear them preach, you're like, how did you get so good? They're such gifted communicators. I remember when we first launched Soda, I would be on these feeds and I'd be watching these guys, these hype priests. I'd be looking at them, man, they look so cool. Man, they preach so well. Man, they seem like such gifted leaders. And I found myself comparing myself as a pastor to these hype priests. And I remember thinking, God's never going to grow our church. Our church is forever going to be 30. It's all my fault. I'm not skilled enough. I'm not cool enough. I'm not gifted enough. I ain't got the swag like, you know, Kevin Chu and Brian Hahn. They're true hype beasts in this house. If you're looking for a hype beast in this house, you got to go to them. I'm like, I'm not cool like them. Like, how? Why are people going to be drawn to this church? And I remember God brought me to this passage, said, Mickey, chill. I'm not looking at the outward appearance. I'm not looking at how you dress. I'm not looking at the shoes that you're wearing. I'm not looking at how gifted of a communicator that you are. See, I even stuttered right there. He's saying, I'm not looking at all that stuff that the world's looking at. I'm looking at your heart. And if you're faithful and you're obedient, you don't have to worry that you're not going to hit your mark. It's that some of you are living in anxiety because there's people to your left and your right who are doing it better than you. And you're saying, how is God going to move me and get me to my destination when this designer on the right, man, if I could just be as creative as that person. Or this person, my friend's so handsome. All the girls going to my friend. No one sees me. I'm overlooked. See, many of you, you're comparing your destiny. But I want you to know something. God looks at your heart. And if you're faithful and obedient, you are going to hit your mark. The question that we have to ask is, what is this heart that David carried? You see, God looks at the heart, but what is this heart that David carried? We're going to talk about, next slide, the heart of David. See, what I love about David's heart is that David wasn't clamoring for the fame or the glory or the attention. He wasn't seeking personal gratification or self fulfillment. David wasn't saying, I want to be the very best. And no one, he wasn't saying any of that. David was after one thing. And it wasn't the glory, it wasn't the fame, it wasn't recognition, it wasn't self-fulfillment. David was after one thing. He was after God's heart. That's the one thing. He was saying, the one thing I want more than anything else, more than me walking out my calling, more than me stepping into my God-given destiny, the one thing I want above anything else is you. God, I want you. And whatever's on your heart, I want to be on my heart. Whatever makes you happy, I want to make you happy. He was saying, God, the one thing that I desire, the one thing that I want is your heart. Let's be real. Some of us just want to step into our God-given destiny so that we can feel self-fulfilled. Ooh, I feel the conviction falling across the room. Some of you, you just want to step into your destiny because you want the recognition. But we have to see here that the heart that God requires is a heart that's after his own, a heart that is completely after God. Let's be real. Too many believers are thirsty, and thirsty for all the wrong things. I remember when I was serving in youth group many years ago, here in San Francisco, actually, I remember our worship team needed a new singer because we sent one off to college. And I'll never forget the day that I made that announcement to my youth group kids. We are looking for a new praise team singer. And I'll never forget. Sometimes I'd be preaching and teaching to them, and, you know, they'd be like, But as soon as I said, we need a new worship team singer to be here on the stage, I swear, their faces lit up. All of a sudden, they stood attention right, looking at me, just waiting to hear what I was saying next. I said, we need a new singer. I remember I was just sweeping my eyes across the room, and I could tell these kids were thirsty. They weren't thirsty for the living water, no. They were thirsty to be on stage. They were thirsty to be seen. They were thirsty to be able to say, I am on the worship team. You see, God doesn't look at that outward stuff. He looks at the heart. Let's look at chapter 16, verse 11. So we asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. He is tending the sheep. That is crucial right there. He is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. I want to tell you something. David discovered his destiny in the field. We're going to talk about that today, and these are the two things that you're going to walk away with. Destiny was discovered in the field. And there are two things that David was doing in the field when Samuel and Jesse was looking for him. There are two things that David did consistently in the field when no one was watching, when no one was looking for him. But even here in this moment when people were looking for him, he was doing one thing. He was in the field. And these are the two things that he was doing. Number one, he was tending his sheep. And number two, he was worshiping God. Listen, some of you, you're longing to discover your destiny, and I'm telling you right now, you will discover your destiny in the field as you are tending the sheep and worshiping God. Some of y'all are like, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor Mickey. I do not have sheep. The first thing, he was tending his sheep. What does that mean? David discovered his destiny in the mundane, everyday act of tending to his sheep. You see, David was a shepherd, and that occupation of a shepherd was not something that was highly respected or highly sought after. This occupation as a shepherd was very considered low, and it was a mundane thing. But in the mundane, everyday act of faithfulness to his sheep, all of a sudden, destiny comes knocking. He was being faithful with the little that he was entrusted with. Luke 16:10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. The question I want to ask you, church, is are you being faithful where you're at right now? Are you being faithful with where you're at right now? Listen, your job may not be your ultimate destiny, but are you being faithful in your workplace right now? Your studies may not be your ultimate destiny, but are you faithfully studying and stewarding your education? The ministry you're serving in right now may not be your ultimate destiny, but are you being faithful with it? What God is saying today is that he entrusts destiny to the faithful, to the faithful, to those who are faithful with little. Some of you, you're clamoring for big destinies, but you can't even be faithful with the little thing God's put in front of you right now. Some of you, ooh, you want a wife. You want a husband. But you can't even be faithful to steward the relationships and the friendships in your life right now. Let me tell you something. Some of you, you know your job, your workplace is not the place that God is calling you to end up at, but you can't even show up on time. You can't even get your work done. Let me tell you something. I'm speaking to myself, church. I'm speaking to myself. Listen, the little things. David, when destiny came knocking, he was in the field tending his sheep, doing the everyday, mundane, ordinary thing. Listen, some of you, you wake up Monday morning and you feel like you have no purpose. Let me tell you something. You're being faithful with the little. You may not be where you're called to be quite yet, but every day you wake up on Monday morning to the job that you don't like, you're still being faithful in that season. I'll never forget when Pastor Benjamin sat me down for the first time when I came to Living Hope. He said, Mickey, God has a destiny for your life. And I was like, ooh. Okay. I'm a words of affirmation guy. He's like, Mickey, I tell you what, you're going to pastor a church one day. Ooh! Okay, yeah. Mickey, I'm telling you, you're going to influence so many. Your church is going to be thriving. It's going to be life. I was like, yes, sir. Yes, pastor. I received that word. Telling me all these things. It's messed up. One time he actually called me early in the morning, like at 6 a.m., and he left me a voicemail. He said, Mickey, I was praying for you, and I heard on behalf of you from the Lord. He said, this is what he said. He has a plan for your life. You are going to open up a restaurant and call it Mickey C's instead of Mickey D's. Just kidding. Bye. And he hung up. But this was not that. When he sat me down, he was just revealing to me the things that God had planned for my life. And so I remember after that meeting, I stood up like, let's go. Let's go. What's good, Pastor Benjamin? Come on, get me up on that pulpit. Start training me. Come on, where's my flock? Let's go. What's good? And I remember he said, oh, but in this next season, this is the need of the house. We need a facilities manager. I said, doesn't sound like pastor of a church to me. I said, no, we need a facilities manager. That's what we need in our house right now. I said, okay, all right. Where's my people? Where are the people that I'm going to lead into facility heaven? Where are the people that I'm going to lead to make this place amazing? I said, oh, you actually don't have a team yet. Okay, so when are we going to build this team? He's like, oh, we're not building a team. So what's my role, Pastor Benjamin? Saying, you know the bathrooms? They need to be clean for every gathering that we have. And part of me was like, you know, I wanted to be a faithful son. I was like, yeah, humble. But inside I was like, what? Facilities manager? Bathroom, scrubbing the toilets, that's what you're calling me to do. You just told me that I'm going to pastor a church. I'm going to pastor a thriving church. He said, no, in this season, be faithful with this. I tell you, for the next few months, I was the best toilet scrubber you have ever seen. I tell you what, the facilities were clean. They were pristine. I had another friend, Pastor Sunny, told me this story about her friend when she was in youth group. This wasn't her friend. This was Pastor Sunny. When she was in youth group, they didn't have these projectors back then. Do you remember? They had those overhead projection things, and then you have to write on those clear papers. And she was telling us, like, God, she knew that God had a plan for her life, but in that season, her task, her one job, was to do those projection screens. And so she said she took it to the next level. She would go through every screen every morning, make sure there were no typos. If there was a typo, she would rip it up and she would write it again. And then she would make sure during the song that it would transition right at the right time. She would scroll it up very slowly where it wasn't like, you know, looking for the words. But she was being faithful with the little. You see, God may have given you a vision for greater things, but it will only be fulfilled if you're faithful with where you're at right now. Faithful in your workplace, faithful in your relationships, faithful in your job right now. Listen, this isn't just waiting time. It is training time. This isn't just I'm sitting on my hands, on my butt, just waiting for my destiny to be fulfilled. No, even in the mundane, ordinary act of tending his sheep, even in the ordinary, mundane act of waking up to go to work on Monday or throwing in those applications for a job or even just honing in on your craft, those little mundane things, it's not just waiting time, it's training time. And let me tell you, it's during this season, while David was in the field, that he learned how to lead the people of Israel. Why? Because he learned how to lead his sheep. And he led the people of Israel as he led his sheep. See, he had a shepherd's heart, but it was only developed as he was faithful in the field. It's even in the field that David was equipped to defeat Goliath. You know, we think it was just this one glorious moment where the heavens opened up and the Spirit of God came upon David, and all of a sudden he went Super Saiyan level 3. His muscles expanded. He grew in stature. He grabbed the stones and he chucked it at. No, let me tell you something. David learned how to defeat Goliath way before he even stepped foot on a battlefield. He learned to defeat Goliath in the field. Why? Because let me tell you, son, bears and lions was coming after his sheep. And even when no one was watching, he could have just let a lion take off one sheep. Okay, fine. I ain't messing with no lion. I tell you what, if I was a shepherd and I see a lion coming after me, I would be willing to sacrifice one of my sheep. Maybe like the smallest one that doesn't. I just offer that up to the lion as a sacrifice. But David, in that season in the field, as he was faithful with the little, he was fending off lions and bears, killing them. That's where he learned how to defeat Goliath. It's in the field. It's not just waiting time. It's training time. What I want to propose is that some of you cannot move forward in your destiny because you haven't been faithful in this season of your life. Super Mario is coming out again on the Nintendo Switch. And I love games because in game, you finish a level and you can't move on to the next level until you finish that level. It's the same way. Some of you, you need to be faithful. You need to learn to be faithful in this season before God gives you greater things. Are you being faithful with what you have now? Your destiny is wrapped up in that faithfulness. But number one, he was tending his sheep. He was being faithful with where he was at right then, even though it wasn't his ultimate destination. But the second thing, he was worshiping God. You see, when David was out in the field, I tell you what, being a shepherd is probably a boring job. You're just literally watching sheep. Maybe once in a while a lion or a bear will come at you and be really intense. But for most of the time, he had a lot of downtime. And what David was doing with this free time was that he was building a relationship with God. He was spending his time singing to God. He was spending his time listening for his voice, learning his ways. He was spending his time writing to God. He was spending his time learning more about him. And he really embodied a worshiper, the heart of a worshiper as he was out in that field. The heart of a worshiper is a heart that is fully surrendered to God. You see, in the field, he fully surrendered his heart to God. He made space and time for him. Let me tell you something. Your destiny begins with the pursuit of God. Your destiny begins by pursuing God. You cannot fulfill your destiny without him. Listen, I've seen so many people chase after their destinies, chase after their callings without maintaining that healthy relationship with God. In fact, they gave up that relationship with God to pursue their destiny, and it leaves them empty. They don't hit their mark. And it's important, David, before he chased after what God had called him to do, that he had the heart. He developed the heart of a worshiper. Why is that important? Because even if you get to where you're supposed to be, if you get there without God, it will be all meaningless. I'll tell you, it will be meaningless. Even if you get to where you're called to be, without God there, it's empty and it's meaningless. Listen, you discover your destiny as you spend time with the one who wrote your story from beginning to end. Let me tell you something. If I want to know what I'm called to do, I'm going to spend time with my maker. I want to spend time with the one who actually wrote out my story, the story of Mickey Cho, by God. The one that wrote my life story from beginning to end. If I'm going to find out what he's called me to do, there's no better place that I could find it than with the author of my story. How many of you have done escape room here in the city before? Listen, our community group, Portrayal Trail Game, make some noise. Thanks for that love. At the end of every season, we do escape room. And what escape room is, it's this room that they throw you in for an hour, and you have to solve puzzles to try to find your way out of the room. And if you can't get out within an hour, you lose. Actually, the last one we did was it's called Psycho. And We're placed in a room, and the premise is that we are all kidnapped by a serial killer, and we have to get out of the room in an hour before he comes back to murder us. And so that was the escape room we were doing this last season. Anyway, at the end, if you do not finish, and we actually have only finished kind of once with the asterisk, right? We've only finished once with the asterisk, but if you don't finish, the guide comes into the room and walks you from beginning to the end, exactly how you were supposed to solve the puzzles, what you were supposed to do. Let me tell you something. We have to walk closely with the one who has orchestrated our lives. Walk closely with the one who has written our story from beginning to end. It's with God. And as we build a relationship with God, as we pursue after God, as we have a heart of worship for our God, that we discover our destiny. The foundation for your destiny is intimacy with God. It's intimacy with God. Bill Johnson says this amazing quote that it's one of my favorite quotes. If you make history with God, he'll make history through you. If you make history with God, if you build a personal history, a personal relationship. I love that I have so many people in this room that I've gone decades knowing. You know, David and I, we've been through so many sinful and outrageous things together. We've had a very sprinkled history with so many amazing things and hardships. And we only built that history because we made space to spend time with each other, to do life together. And what I'm saying is David made space to build a history with God. His history with God wasn't, I got saved in 2002, and then in 2005, I had this encounter with the Holy Spirit. 2007, I was serving. No, David had a rich history with God. He could recount the moments where God spoke revelations into his ear. He could recount the moments where he was broken, tear-filled, crying out to God in desperate positions. He could recount all these memories, all these history that he built with God. If you make history with God, he'll make history through you. See, God needed a king, but he was seeking a worshiper. And there's many things that God needs for this world, to affect this world, to transform this world, but what he's looking for is a worshiper that he can partner with. The future belongs to the worshiper. Now, it's in this place of worship where God released unto David his destiny. And the question I want to ask you this is this. Do you consistently make time for God? Do you prioritize him above everything else in your life? Are you pursuing his heart in your day-to-day? Listen, if you do not make it a habit right now to make space to build intimacy with God, you will not make space for it later. You will not make space for it in your success as you're walking out your calling. It's in this place right now where you have to learn to make a habit of spending time with God so that when life gets busy, when success comes your way, when circumstances change, that the one thing that will be unchanging is your heart as a worshiper. It's in this place of pursuit and worship where God begins to reveal to you your destiny. Listen, some of you simply haven't received a nudge towards your destiny or a vision or a dream for your calling because you haven't spent time with him. Because you haven't made space in your day-to-day as David did. I tell you what, if you spend consistent time with God, I guarantee you, if you make space, consistent space worshiping him, submitting your heart to him, submitting your desires, your dreams, listening for him, you will have clarity on where God's called you to go and what he's called you to do. This is the heart that David carried. This is what qualified him for his destiny. What I want to say, church, is that some of you, you're desiring your destiny, but you're forsaking the field. You're forsaking the very place, the very thing that develops in you a heart that God releases a destiny upon. Some of you, you want your destiny, but you're forsaking the field. You're forsaking being faithful with the little right in front of you. And forsaking having a heart of a worshiper, making consistent time for him. The field is where you discover your destiny. Now, we're going to bring this to a close. In verse 12 through 13, then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one, looking at David. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. This man's destiny was not to be paralyzed for the rest of his life. What I want to tell you, church, is your destiny is not to be paralyzed for the rest of your life. I believe that in this season, you are going to have a David moment. In this season, you're going to sense the anointing from God for a specific thing that he's called you to do in your life. I believe in this season, God is going to say to you, get up, pick up your mat and walk. As we talked about last week, you will not be paralyzed for the rest of your life. One of my favorite theologians says the public anointing was the outcome of what had taken place in private between David and God long before. Let me tell you something. This is not waiting time. This is training time. What you do when no one sees you, when no one looks, where no one can see your heart, this is the place that matters the most. This is the place that qualifies you for your destiny. Last thing I want to say is this. David received the vision for his destiny, but it did not come to pass right away. Listen, some of you, you're going to get pieces of what God's called you to do, but it may take time. The question is, why did it take so long? See, after this whole amazing moment where he gets anointed with oil, where he has this powerful encounter with God, you know what he does right after? He goes right back to the field. He goes right back to the field and goes right back to tending his sheep, singing his hallelujahs to God. Listen, some of you may experience that moment in this season where God gives you clarity on where he's called you to go, what he's called you to do, but sometimes it takes time to get there. Why? Because preparation is necessary for the fulfillment of the promise. Preparation is necessary. Some of you, like David, may know what God is calling you to do, but haven't seen it come to pass. Why? It's because he's preparing you right now in the field. He is preparing you for the destiny. There's this big trend when I was in college of people going to the gym very consistently and only working on their upper body. Do you know what I'm talking about? We call them bros, okay? Bronies, okay? And they would only work on the upper part of their body, would not spend a single minute on their legs. And what that does actually is a lot of these bodybuilders, Ying would tell me, a lot of these bodybuilders, they have a big upper frame, but they haven't spent time on the foundation, on the core. And see, you're only as strong as your core. You can have big muscles. You can have bulging triceps and shoulders. But if you do not have a strong core, you are not strong. And what God is saying in this season, I am developing your core. Some of you, you may not be very much up here, or you might be too much. Come on. But I've seen people, let me tell you, when I ran my half marathon a few years ago, I was running, and I had a spirit of judgment, church. Because I was seeing people that was running the race with me, and they looked completely out of shape. I mean, I'm out of shape, but they was completely out of shape. I was like, you shouldn't even be on here, bro. Like, how are you going to finish this race? And I see these people, these older people, too. I was like, oh, my God, like, be careful. And I'm running. And about halfway through, I'm starting to gas out. And all of a sudden, I see these people that I judged, these people that were heavier set than me, start to pass me up. And I felt so humbled. I saw this old dude that I passed in the very beginning pass me up. And you know what? It doesn't matter how strong you look on the outside. If you do not have a strong core, you are not a strong person. And God in this season, as you're in the field, as you're waiting, he is developing your core because he doesn't want you to do a quick sprint. He wants you to run for the long haul. And this is what David got right, because the priority of his heart wasn't destiny. The priority of his heart was God. Why is this important? Why is this important? Because whether it took 5 months or 50 years, David wouldn't have been disappointed. Why? Because his innermost desire was not for what he was called to do or what he was to step into. His innermost desire was just God. And he already had him. Some of you have been disappointed by your destiny because you've put what God's called you to do above him, above himself. What I want to tell you is we have to have the heart of David, where whether it takes 5 years or 500, you will not be disappointed because Your heart isn't after this calling or this destiny. It's actually just a fruit of your intimacy with God. When we prioritize our destiny over our relationship, that's when we set ourselves up for disappointment. I want to end just sharing a little bit of my story, and we're going to wrap it up. My destiny and my calling as a pastor was a very interesting road. And I remember there were seasons where I was desperately asking God, God, what are you calling me to do? And at times I was pursuing education. I was going to be a teacher. Thank God I'm not a teacher. I would have ruined kids' lives. I'll tell you that much. I was thinking about music. But I remember one birthday, and it was my 22nd birthday. I decided I'm going to consecrate myself this year. Some of y'all may have heard the story. I'm going to consecrate myself. I'm going to fast all day on my birthday. Not only that, I'm going to drive up to the mountains in San Jose at Prayer Mountain. I'm going to rent out a room by myself, and I'm just going to seek after the face of God for this whole day on my birthday. You know, when I should be celebrating, when I should be having fun, eating cake, I'm going to give it all up. I remember even that morning, a couple of my friends came over to my house, and they knew I was fasting. They knew, fam. And they brought a cake. Said, happy birthday, Mickey. I said, you guys know I'm fasting, right? Like, yeah. They came in, invited themselves into my house, and they started eating cake in front of me. Nicole was one of them. Anyway, after that desert moment, I drove myself up to Prayer Mountain, and I spent the entire day seeking after God. And my prayer was this, God, would you please just give me a birthday gift this year? Hey, cool tip. Every birthday that you have, just ask God for a birthday gift. He'll surprise you. Anyway, I was asking for a birthday gift, and all of a sudden, you know, time is passing. I'm spending time worshiping. I'm spending time reading the Bible. I'm asking God, God, give me this gift. 3 p.m., 6 p.m., starts to get dark, and they don't have lights there, or, you know, super dark. There's this black cat that actually walks around, and I was like, oh, kind of demonic. 9 p.m., day's almost over, 10 p.m., 11 p.m., and I'm asking God, God, I just want a birthday gift. Please, I gave up cake for you. Midnight hits, and I remember I'm just there, just meditating, and I'm just waiting. And I remember this moment where I felt in my heart that I was prioritizing wanting something from God rather than just being with God. And so I remember the last few moments before I fell asleep, I just decided, I'm going to stop asking for a gift, and I'm just going to want him. And so I said, God, okay, cool, gift, great, but I just want you. And I remember he gave me a vision that night, and it was of it's a Korean ice cream. It's shaped like a fish, and has vanilla ice cream and red bean in it. You guys know what I'm talking about? So that flashed in my mind, and I thought, God, is this the gift that you're promising me? Or am I just hallucinating from my 24-hour fast? Am I just hungry? But I just felt certain that this is the gift that he was giving me. And all of a sudden, he took me to all four passages in the Gospels. There's four instances in every Gospel where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And one particular version, there's a little boy who offers up 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he said, Mickey, you're just like that little boy. You have great ambition and desire to want to feed people, but all you feel like you have is this tiny little ice cream fish, and it's melting in your hand. Gonna be no good. But he says, watch what happens when you put it in my hand. And in my head, I saw myself placing this stupid little ice cream in Jesus' hand. And he said, I'm gonna multiply it and feed the nations with it. And I remember that night was the night that God, as my gift, my birthday gift, he said, I'm calling you to be a full-time minister of the gospel. I'm calling you to be a pastor, and you're going to feed so many. As so long as you give me what's in your hand, I will multiply it. You know what that season was for me? That season was the field. That season was the season where I had no idea what God wanted me to do. I was juggling between destinies, between ideas of calling and career. I tell you, all my relationships were in shambles. I was not in a good place. That was the field. But in the field, as I was faithful in pursuing God, all of a sudden, he gives me my destiny. Now, I waited years and years. This is actually part of the fulfillment, just a part of it, of that destiny that happened, in 2008, so long ago. It took, what, 9 years for that to happen. But I see that throughout those 9 years, God started preparing me. As I was scrubbing toilets, he was preparing me. As I was doing children's ministry at Living Hope with all these kids, these black kids coming up to me and say, Pastor Mickey, why are your eyes so small? Dealing with that foolishness every single week. That season, he was preparing me. The season where I was the missions pastor and I hated doing admin, but I had to plan like 7 mission trips a year with 16 different people on these teams, getting their flights, doing all this admin stuff. In that season, he was preparing me. In the season where I was a worship pastor, he was preparing me. In the season as I started dating Krista, he was preparing me. As I started to make her my wife, he was preparing me. See, some of you are in that waiting season, but it's not waiting, it's training. And he's preparing you for your destiny. We're going to bring it to a close. What I want to say is, whether you know what God's called you to do, and you're just waiting for that fulfillment, or whether you still have no clue what God wants you to do, it's okay. God is making one thing clear, and it's this. Your destiny is built upon a heart after God. This is the foundation, your destiny. This is starting point A. This is the very basic ground floor. And some of you may be farther along in this journey. Some of you may be just at the start. But let me tell you something. It all begins with cultivating a heart that is after God. What I want to tell you, church, is do not forsake the field. Do not forsake being faithful with the little things he's placed in your life. Do not forsake spending that daily quality time with him, that making space for God to speak to you, making space for you to build a history with God. And I guarantee you, if you make space to make history with God, he will make history through you. I look across this room and I see destiny starting to light up, but it's not lighting up because your passions and your dreams are coming alive. It's lighting up because your heart for God is starting to burn again. And this is where it starts. This is the starting point. This is what sets you up to live as David did, to walk as a king, to fulfill the thing that God had called him to do on this earth. I tell you what, every morning we do call to worship. None of that would be possible if David hadn't been faithful in the field. The Psalms that we declare out, the Psalms that we read, would not have been possible if David forsaked the field. What I'm telling you today is start cultivating a heart after God. As you pursue God, you will find your destiny in him. All right, now, why don't we close our eyes? I believe for some of you, God is beginning to stir up this heart. And some of you, you feel great conviction as I'm speaking because you know that you have forsaken the field during this season. You haven't been faithful with where you're at. You haven't been faithful in pursuing God and making space for him. But I believe that today God is going to ignite in you a passionate heart after God. He's going to ignite in you a heart just like David, a heart that is after his God. So right now, just take a moment. And I want you to begin to interact with God. What's he speaking to you right now? What's he calling you to change? Starting today, what's he calling you to change? What's he calling you to do? I believe that he is going to ignite hearts right now.